As we are in the early verses of Hebrews chapter 11 in our study of the book of Hebrews, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6. We're going to once again be looking at verses 1 through 3, reinforcing and going deeper in these great and wonderful truths which our faith needs if we're to persevere in the hardships and the struggles and the doubts in this life. So please stand and hear now the reading of God's word, which is revealed truth. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is the wonderful word of God. Please be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, it almost goes without saying how we need the truth, the encouragement, even the conviction of your word read, your word preached, your word understood and believed. So Lord, since this is something spiritual, this is your inspired word, inspired by your Holy Spirit, we ask for the Holy Spirit to work, to use your word, to once again open our eyes to see wondrous things in your word, to strengthen, encourage our faith, even to grant a saving faith to those who do not believe yet. Oh Lord, work wonderfully through the preaching of your word. I confess I need your Spirit's unction to deliver your word so it would not be in the strength of the flesh. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few verses back from chapter 11. Back in chapter 10 and verse 36, the author of Hebrews told his audience something very important. He said, "You have need of endurance." And they really did need even an extra dose of endurance, because the people who to whom this book of Hebrews was written, they were suffering for their faith in Christ. And as a result, they were under a terrible temptation to just throw in the towel and revert back to the Old Testament Jewish religion in order to escape their persecution, their suffering. And you know what? The Holy Spirit did not simply inspire the book of Hebrews only for that original audience. The Holy Spirit also inspired the book of Hebrews for us, even today. In other words, that crucial exhortation found back in verse 36, "You have need of endurance," is a message also for us today. And we may need this message all the more as our society continues to go in the directions in which it is going, we may very well be even more persecuted and challenged in our faith. Verse 36 again, chapter 10, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Isn't that glorious? That you may receive what is promised. In other words, we all, whether young or old, we all need endurance. We all need to persevere in our faith in Christ, both in the good times as well as when things get really, really hard and moving forward is difficult. But why? Why even bother with endurance? Well, again, verse 36, "that you may receive what is promised." There's glory at the end of the road for us, all who believe in Jesus Christ. And what is promised in the gospel of Jesus Christ is sheer, breathtaking joy and glory and deliverance and life such as we can hardly begin to imagine it. And so that's how chapter 10 ended here in the book of Hebrews. It ended with a rousing call to endurance and even confidence in their faith. It ended with that call to perseverance in faith in Christ and in the reality of God's promises. And by the way, so that's sort of what leads into chapter 11. Now, if we look at chapter 12, which follows chapter 11, guess how chapter 12 begins? You'll find the very same call to endurance, urging us on to a persevering faith that makes it all the way to the glorious reward at the finish line. Listen to how endurance continues to play such a significant role right there in the first three verses of chapter 12. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." So you have chapter 10 ending with a call to an enduring and persevering faith. And then we have chapter 12 continuing the very same topic of endurance. So with chapter 10 ending this way, with chapter 12 beginning that way, does that give you a clue what's in between chapter 11 is all about? A persevering, enduring faith. You got it. Hebrews 11 is about that which we all need. We all need endurance. We need a wonderful, glorious faith, a faith which is able to persevere both in the good times as well as the hard times, a faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he has secured for us through his death and resurrection. And so here's what's so special about Hebrews chapter 11. By presenting us with examples of saints who have gone before us, who they themselves possessed a persevering faith, chapter 11 seeks to demonstrate what it was that enabled them to persevere in their faith, even through the worst of trials and hardships. And so chapter 11, with its examples of Abraham and Moses and Sarah and Abel and Enoch and Isaac and so forth, chapter 11 is not so much saying, look at these great heroes of the faith, imitate them. It is saying that, but that's not really the main point. Much better than just saying, imitate them. And please don't miss this, because it's wonderful. What chapter 11 is saying to us is this: look and see what it was that enabled them to persevere in faith, even through the greatest of persecutions and trials and hardships. The author then in chapter 11 is using all of those great examples to show us the key, if I can use that phrase, to show us the key to an enduring, persevering faith. And what did all those saints found in chapter 11, really all the saints that have gone before us, what did all those saints have in common that enabled them to persevere? For one thing, they didn't do what we do today. They didn't do what we do today, which is cling to the present moment as if this is all that there is. Rather, they looked forward. They clung to God's great gospel promises which were awaiting them and which were secured by Jesus Christ. They kept the eyes of their faith looking forward to the prize, to the reward, the incredible salvation that awaited them at the end of the journey. That's the key. You see, those great saints looked forward to the great promises. And so chapter 10, verse 10 captures that key to enduring faith. In the example, verse 10 of chapter 11 captures that key to an enduring faith. In the example of Abraham, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And so David McWilliams, a PCA pastor in Florida, he writes this: "Let your heart cling to the promise and long for the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. See how the Lord's people throughout redemptive history were pressing toward Christ by faith in the promise of God." And so this is meant to be something that we fill our hearts with, looking forward to the hope of receiving all the gospel promises. That's what gives us persevering faith. Now, with the author's great purpose of calling us to an enduring, a persevering faith, and keeping this in mind, let's look once again at verse 1 in chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hopefully it's becoming much clearer that verse 1 is in fact a description of faith that endures, a faith that keeps going, a faith that perseveres. And yes, faith does indeed have a right now element to it. I'm trusting in Jesus and his high priestly saving work to reconcile me to the Heavenly Father so I can experience a closeness to the Heavenly Father even right now. But faith, in fact, an enduring faith, also casts its gaze, its hope, forward to those things which have been promised, but which we do not yet hold in our hands. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So this is key. A persevering faith keeps its eyes and its hopes on the passages of Scripture, such as the last two chapters of Revelation. "Then I saw the new heavens and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Let your heart thrill to that kind of a vision. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former order of things is passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he also said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And so the kind of faith that perseveres through the fears, the worries, the doubts, the hardships in life fixes its gaze. This is what saints of old did. It fixes its gaze and its hope in a forward direction towards those blessed, wonderful things which are going to be ours at the consummation of the ages. This is how, again, I'll probably say this a number of times, I'm not sure, this was how the saints who went before us, who didn't have instant gratification, who didn't have credit cards, who didn't have our medicine, who didn't have Amazon Prime and next day delivery, they didn't have those things to sort of cover over some of our hardships. This is how they persevered. This is how they endured. They kept their gaze looking forward. And last week we saw that here in verse 1, the Greek word translated as assurance in our ESV Bibles can be translated in a number of different ways. It can be translated as assurance, guarantee, being sure, even substance. But there's yet another way, which I didn't discuss last week, that the word assurance, that the Greek word for assurance can be translated. It can be translated as title deed. In other words, the first half of verse 1 can be translated as faith is the title deed of things hoped for. This nuance of that Greek word, it was used back in ancient times in legal documents attesting to the ownership of things such as a piece of land. Moulton and Milligan illustrates how this translation, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. They illustrate it as the idea of a guarantee of something that really belongs to us. Here's what they write. Suppose I go to a real estate agent and buy a piece of land in Canada. I don't have the time to go and see it, but I have the title deed to that property. If I ever want to sell that land, I can say, I have some land to sell. Here are the title deeds. Even if I never saw my property, that paper attests to this. It represents it for me. And if you look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you will find that this is just what faith is there. Men and women received the promise from God, and they counted that promise as being the title deeds to something they could not see yet, but which they were going to see someday. They were so sure of it because God had promised it to them that they acted upon the belief, treating it as something absolutely theirs. So this is how an enduring faith operates. Now, faith is the assurance. It's the title deeds of things hoped for. So we can say, through faith in Christ, who secured all things for me, I possess the title deed to all that Christ has promised, to all that Christ has secured for me. Heaven is, and joy is going to be my forever estate. What glory! I have the title deed in the saving work of Christ, and I'm clinging to it by faith. It's wonderful. Verse 1 then continues describing the key to an enduring faith, a faith that sees us through even the darkest of times, even in the face of the assault of doubts. Now, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Again, that's the kind of faith that the saints of old demonstrated. Through the eyes of faith, they could see the reality of God's promises. Even those things promised lay off in the future. God's promises that he will dwell with us and we with him. He promises that he will wipe all of our tears away. He promises each one of us who believe an incredible resurrection body. No more tiredness, no more pain, no more weakness, no more disease, none of those things. But we haven't seen these things with our physical eyes, have we? But faith is a title deed. And faith is a conviction of things promised, things not seen. So persevering faith, the eyes of persevering faith looks into those unseen, unrealized spiritual realities. It gazes into God's word and it beholds the record of Christ's saving work. It sees God's promises in Holy Scripture as something certain and thereby begins to experience a conviction of things not seen. Again, Romans 8, verse verses 24 to 25, it's beautifully worded the same thing. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is how faith that endures to the end is enabled. We don't have it yet. We don't see it yet with our physical eyes. But God has promised it. And if God has promised it, it will come to pass. Period. That promise is signed with the blood of Christ, by the way. I came across this really wonderful illustration about A.T. Robinson. A.T. Robinson was famous for his studies in the Greek New Testament. Maybe some of you have heard of A.T. Robinson. A.T. Robinson had a young daughter who died. And when his friends came to his house to console him, they found him with his Greek New Testament in his hand, and he was reading the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. And in his deep grief, he said to his friends, "He raised Jairus' daughter. Why not mine? Why not my own daughter?" His eyes of faith, in fact, I'd say his eyes of persevering faith, were no doubt looking to the unseen promise of Jesus. A promise such as in John chapter 6, verse 40, where Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." If Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, then why not raise my own child who's gone to be with Jesus? The eyes of faith, looking upon the promises and receiving them. David McWilliams comments, "Let us not forget that Dr. Robinson struggled, but that he struggled as all God's people should in this world. He struggled with his Bible in his hand." Isn't that wonderful? He struggled with his Bible in his hand. The promises of God are found there, and they are sure. Now, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Now, this kind of faith, the kind of faith that leads to persevering even when things seem hopeless, even when life is really, really hard, and believing and trusting is really hard, even when obeying God and trusting Him looks like, if I really obey, I'm going to lose everything good. Well, verse 2 reveals God's gracious response to that kind of a trust in this way: "For by it the people of old received their commendation." Think of Abraham back in Genesis 15. Years before, God had promised Abraham a son. And yet, Abraham still did not have a son. So struggling Abraham said to the Lord, "Behold, look, you haven't given me a son." And here's how the Lord responded: "Your very own son shall be your heir." And the Lord brought him outside and said, "Look towards heaven. Number the stars if you're able to count them." Then the Lord said to Abraham, "So shall your offspring be." How did Abraham respond to the Lord's promise? We read, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness." I can't conceive of a greater commendation for persevering and trusting God's promise than to be justified, than to be counted as right in the eyes of God. For by it, by faith, by a persevering faith, by a faith that trusted in God's promises, even though we don't have them in our hand yet, for God to commend us as righteous in his sight. Look at the next following verses. You'll see that theme there. "For by it the people of old received their commendation." This then brings us to another aspect of the kind of faith that enables one to endure, to persevere. Notice I keep saying endure, persevere. That's what this is about, right? Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Boy, if there is anything that is under assault this day, even within the church, it's that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So many doubts on this have entered, not just society. There is no God. There is no creation. What exists has always existed and always will exist. And no, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What's this doing here? What's creation doing in a passage about persevering faith? Let me try and explain this. Now, if a persevering faith looks forward in time, if enduring faith has a forward direction in its gaze towards receiving the coming fulfillment of God's promises, then why do we suddenly have a verse here that talks about a persevering faith looking backwards to the beginning, to creation itself? Why? What's this doing here? How does looking backwards towards God's creating the universe fortify and even strengthen our faith towards endurance? Actually, it's rather simple. When we look back at creation and the fact that God created the universe simply by speaking it into being, in other words, if God is that massively powerful to literally bring the universe into existence by his word, by speaking, then he is also massively powerful and sovereign enough to gloriously fulfill every single one of his future promises without exception. So there's an element of persevering faith which looks forward, but that faith is fortified by looking back to all of God's great miracles and fulfilled promises. That's a big theme in Scripture. Look back at the recorded record, the recorded testimony of all of God's power and sovereignty and fulfillment of his promises. Let that be the track record that encourages you to continue looking forward to the consummation, to the fulfillment of all of his promises. To make this more specific, if a persevering faith looks forward to the sheer joy and relief of the coming new heavens and new earth, well, how can we be confident, I mean really confident, that God has the power to destroy the curse of this fallen world, sin, all of those things? How can we be confident that God has the power to usher in the new heavens and the new earth? Same idea. If God is massively powerful enough to literally bring the entire universe into existence, then he is also massively powerful enough to usher in the glories, the joys, the beauty, the deliverance of the new heavens and the new earth. He has all the sovereignty, all the power possibly needed and more, so that when you read Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 and really all the work leading up to it in the book of Revelation, he has all the power, sovereignty to bring it to pass. And so our eyes of faith can look forward to that and realize God's promised it, he can do it, he will do it, and that enables us to keep going. That's what verse 3 is doing here with its backwards glance. And so this is why, this is a message for the whole church, this is why steadfastly, uncompromisingly holding to the doctrine of creation, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is so critical to maintaining the Christian gospel hope of salvation and of heaven And thus it underlies a persevering faith that sees us through to glory. We can't play games saying, well, everything that exists has always existed and so forth. No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's vital. It's foundational. So to go back to Hebrews 10, verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. That's written to suffering, hurting believers. And so to help us then endure to the end, so that we may receive what is promised by grace through faith in the saving work of Christ, Hebrews 11 then illustrates what a persevering faith looks like by presenting to us the examples of saints who have gone before us, who themselves persevered through the greatest of hardships and trials and struggles and doubts. They persevered to the end. And what did all of those saints, to put this all together, what did all those saints have in common that enabled them to persevere? They didn't cling to the present moment as if that is all there is. Rather, they looked to and they clung to God's great gospel promises as secured in Christ. They kept their eyes of faith fixed forward, looking forward to the prize, the reward, the incredible salvation that awaits all who believe in Christ at the end of the journey. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Let's pray. So, Lord, you tell us here that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And you tell us further, without faith, it's impossible to please you, for whoever would draw near to you must believe you exist, and you reward those who seek you. Oh, Lord, we confess we do struggle in our faith. We do struggle with persevering, more so at other times than good times. Lord, thank you that you recognize our difficulties, our struggles, and you, through your Holy Spirit, inspired these very passages to encourage us, to sustain our faith, to enable us to persevere and endure all the way to the end and win the prize. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would not only use the verses that we've just looked at to spur us forward and grant us an enduring faith, but that you would continue to use your word, chapter 11, to fortify, to build, to strengthen our faith. Oh Lord, thank you that because of the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we truly have deliverance from all that ails us, a new heavens and a new earth awaiting us. Oh, to you be all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.